is the Dealer News Today podcast, the podcast for automotive executives and the professionals who support them. Hey there, folks, and welcome to Dealer News Today. It is 2024, and we are back at it. Now, if you're listening to this, you're getting just the audio, which, you know, is great, but we do have video now with DNT, so you can watch the episodes as well. So you just head over to dealernewstoday.com to check that out. And of course, follow us on social media at Dealer News Today. I am your host, Derek D. And if you're like, wait, who's this dude? Well, you can find out more at derekd.com if you'd like. Okay, let's jump right in. In today's episode, we are going to discuss the Chock Full of Information Market Outlook Report that was done as a team effort between the Dave Canton Group and Kaiser Associates. So we have two guests on the show today, one of the partners at Kaiser Associates, Paul Mumma, and the CEO of the Dave Canton Group, Dave Canton. Paul and Dave, appreciate you guys coming on the show.
Great to see you as well. Good to have you. And Paul, it's great to be back with you again. What a what an incredible trip we had in Las Vegas and NADA.
Yeah, 100%. Good to see you again.
Yeah, that's right. You guys were both in NADA, right?
You know, I look at NADA as kind of like the Daytona 500, right? It's the kickoff to the year. Instead of the Super Bowl where it's the last game, this is kind of the first big hoorah of the year. Typically, it's in January or February of every year. Different locations, but everyone loves when it's back in Las Vegas, of course. Yes. You know, literally a week before the Super Bowl, so you can imagine the excitement that was around NADA this year, especially in Las Vegas. I think, you know, I know tack on an extra few hundred thousand people there just for the Super Bowl a week early. But what a great time to be at NADA for so many reasons. And for us, it had so much to do with the DCG Market Outlook Report that we partnered with Kaiser Associates, Paul and his team, to launch the night before entering NADA 2024. So, Paul, I've been so excited to get on here and talk to you about this report. You know, Kaiser Associates is such an incredible partner to do this. And the reason, just so everybody knows that's listening, the reason we had to go to Kaiser is because, you know, the last 4 years have been the most incredible run for the automotive industry as far as the automotive retailer. They're coming from a dealer's perspective, right? Even though there was no way to predict the future, you know, month after month, dealers were making these incredible profits, even though they had minimal inventory and product, they were still creating a significant amount of profit. You know, as the months and years kept moving, everyone knew it was only time. What's going to happen? And, you know, as we enter into 2024, I think it's the first time that we're getting to a place where we're almost able to predict when we had no predictability for the past 3.5-4 years. And, you know, what we were hearing from the clients in the industry was, and I'm talking more than just the automotive dealer, right? The OEM exec, you know, the OEMs, the vendors, you know, the automotive attorneys, accountants, is nobody has a crystal ball. Nobody knows what's going to happen. How do we find a way to properly predict? How do we manage our businesses? How do we kind of protect our legacies? So we started at Dave Canton Group trying to figure this out, like, okay, what do we do? How do we strategically advise the industry, right? We're so much more than just a mergers and acquisitions firm. We are also considered thought leaders in the space. So we felt that we had this kind of fiduciary responsibility to get this research, to get this data to the industry, but more importantly, in real time, a way to get the most recent data, the most recent information, so we could help our partners, our dealers, other industry leaders in the space properly be able to predict 2024, set themselves up for success in 24, and manage and thrive in an industry that we all work so hard in. So initially we said, we can't do this after doing our research. Like, we just don't have the ability at the Dave Canton Group to do it in the timely fashion that we wanted it done and get as granular as we can to getting the most recent up-to-date information that could help the industry. And that's what made the decision so easy to partner with Paul, his partners at Kaiser Associates. So Paul, welcome to the show. Thank you for being on. Tell us a little bit about Kaiser Associates before we get into the market outlook report.
Yeah, and how did you guys like, how did Kaiser and DCG come together?
Great story.
It's totally my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me. And, you know, before I even talk more about Kaiser, I'll just build on your point, Dave. NADA show was great. I'm a sucker for a great show. What I love about these shows is the energy and the excitement, but also this feeling. It's like you're completely tapped in and you can understand so much what's happening in real time. Everybody's there. And in a way, this is something that Kaiser as a firm tries to make happen when you don't have a show to benefit from. So what do I mean by that? Kaiser Associates is a firm that provides research and strategy advice. And we do this for our clients across a lot of sectors, not just automotive. And what we think we can be really good at doing is doing however much hard work it takes to get out into the field and talk to people, whoever it needs to be, to understand what's true, what's changing, whether that is in the auto world, whether it's someone who works at an OEM, thinking about R&D over the span of years, whether it's at the dealer level, whether it's advisory roles, talking to those dealers, whether it's the consumer, getting that real-time feedback from the consumer. And what we try to do as a firm is stitch together all those data points, lay out something that's really fact-based, and actually helps suggest what someone who reads our work could do in terms of their strategic choices. That's what we do as a firm. We're based in Washington, D.C. I work with a group of great partners that represent views of supply chain, consumer, M&A, and we work together on reports like this. We've been lucky to work with Dave and his team at DCG for a while, and we've been helping on basically those questions. How do you look at the data around you and make strategic choices for your business? It's like if we could go to a show every day, we'd all know so much in real time, but we can't do that. So we try to give a piecemeal version of that when we can. And so that's what we do. That was a bit of how we thought about our work. It's really stitching together the data from a bunch of different points of view to try to give folks something that they can look at, ingest, and then act on in real time.
Yeah, Paul, and what I love about this market study and why I think this Outlook report was so significant, you know, I never expected, first of all, for it to receive the impact that it did. So that just, it validates how important and essential this was to the industry. But what I really am impressed by was how your team was able to work with some of the most significant industry leaders to get their opinion, to really bring them in to discuss these topics that we narrowed in on. So this market outlook report is really covering seven topics. Tell us a little bit about these seven topics. I know why they're so critically important, but share with the industry how and why we narrowed it down to these seven and why it came out to be such an impactful report to the industry.
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think, you know, I love thinking about looking at researching the automotive space because this is a very unusually complex industry. It's not that every single concept is the hardest to get your brain around, but the sheer number of pieces and players in this industry is, that's what's hard to get your brain around. So when we talk to this incredible group of people, and we're talking, you know, guys that represent dealership at the advocacy level, when we talk about leading lights when it comes to private dealership ownership, when we're talking about leading attorneys that are advising folks in the industry, when we're talking about...
Oh, I got to give you credit. I mean, I don't want to interrupt you, but I mean, you had some of the biggest names that were involved in this. You know, Brian Moss, president of the California New Car Dealer Association, Jim Appleton, president of New Jersey Car, NJ Car, Michael LaMotta, the CEO of Dealer-Owned Warranty Company, Tim Batchelor, partner at Open Road Capital, Bain partner, Kevin Tynan, senior automotive analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. I mean, you know, I could keep going and going. Joe Sarah, chairman at Sarah Automotive Group, Randy Hoffman, chief operating officer at Ed Morris Group, Michael Brown, Empire Automotive Group, Brett Hopkins, the CEO of Ken Garf Automotive Group. I mean, the list just keeps going and going and going. And I was blown away when I saw this list.
We were very lucky to get those kind of names who were gracious to spend some time and give us what was on their mind. And essentially, you know, to your question, what are the themes? Why do we come up with them? Why do they matter? What we like to do, when we talk to guys like that, that have real depth of experience in the industry, we ask to begin with, you know, look, you tell us, you know a lot about your world in great detail. What is keeping you up at night? What do you think is changing? What do you know is different? And what was very interesting to us pretty quick, you know, we did our research in a very tight timeline. We wanted to make sure this was fresh at the start of the year. But in the course of our first range of conversations, we started to hear very clear, consistent themes. Sometimes the point of view was a bit different, but the themes were consistent. And what we landed on was there are really seven things that seem to be on folks' minds at the start of the year. Two of those themes are external. They're driven by stuff outside of the industry, but you can imagine that they're important. One of those is the state of the U.S. economy. And it's, you know, I think in a lot of ways, we're feeling like the story for the U.S. economy is better than we feared it was going to be. But that doesn't always mean that the choices to make are easy. So the economy is on people's minds. A second external force, again, no surprise, is this year in politics. It's a presidential election year. It's also a year where there is a lot of energy and activity from executive agencies like the FTC, from the U.S. federal legislature that are thinking about the auto industry. So politics, which is always part of the background, is more important this year. It's on people's minds. Then there were five themes that were coming out that were more internal to the industry, but were on just about everybody's mind. And what was interesting is it turned out that these fell pretty naturally into buckets related to who, you know, who is thinking, who's doing. And those themes that we kind of observed, first one is, you know, it really does begin, like it or not, with manufacturers. And there were very clear themes as to what the priorities are today between automakers at different scales and of different types, which, you know, if I summarize, I'd say, look, in many ways, they remain in something of a driver's seat for the industry. The choices they make are having clear ramifications on others. So there's a
it can impact everyone in the space, of course. I mean, when a manufacturer makes a decision, and we know this as being in the industry, you know, their decision made is could be extremely impactful, not just to the dealer, but to the consumer.
And, you know, I think one of the big kind of takeaways that cuts across a lot of our work is this year, we're probably getting back to a point where if you're paying attention, it's not totally unknown what the impact is going to be of what OEMs are up to. So that's, you know, that's a theme that is probably largely good news for a lot of the industry, because you can kind of predict by watching carefully what they're doing, what's going to happen. The other piece, though, which is really interesting, second theme that we think of as internal, is the consumer. When it comes to the auto industry, everyone loves the consumer. Fundamentally, we're thinking about people that want to have a car that they love, they want to drive. But actually, if I'm being provocative, I'd say within the industry, we don't always think about what the consumer's preferences are and believe that those are going to make a difference in what the manufacturers choose to make, in what dealers got to have on the lot so they can sell. And a big theme in our report this year is we think there have been long-term trends in consumers' preferences that are now making a bit of an impact on how dealers need to operate, what manufacturers are going to do. And that's a clear story this year. And it's probably positive.
And Paul, think about how much we learned from the consumer just throughout the 4 years of COVID, right? The impact that they had in their habits, right? Everyone has a habit.
Oh.
So just to understand how critical their habits change to now,
you know,
how we need
time
to take care of them and encourage them to still come into the dealerships.
Yeah, I'll tell you, early in COVID, yeah, go on.
No, so yeah, because I wanted to mention COVID because obviously in the beginning, everyone didn't know what was really going on. And then boom, you know, the automotive industry took off. And I'm one of those consumers. Like I just sold my car and then made a profit on it and took the equity from that and then ended up buying a used car, a 2021 Audi A5. But I went to all dealerships around here in Jersey and stuff. I ended up getting it from a Volkswagen dealership in Ohio and shipped out here.
And that's where you could find it.
Right. Yeah. That's where I could find it. And that's where I could find.
Yeah.
Actually, they were the best, like, responsive and the most, because I went to some dealerships here and I'm super savvy in this stuff, especially because I'm a car guy, and they're just pulling your leg on a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, nope, those numbers don't need to be in there. Get that out of there. So I ended up having to go to, found this dealership in Ohio and, great ratings. They were super convenient. And I got it done all online. And I did like FaceTiming, driving the car and all that stuff.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's definitely different.
It's so interesting. Your experience, you're like a microcosm of a bunch of things that come out in this report. I'll just kind of quickly respond to some of those. It's so interesting. It's like, you know, one, early in COVID, everybody's driving. The mileage, it just dropped. No one knew. Is it even going to come back or not? Are we even going to care as much about our cars? Okay, we're at a point where it's very clear. We're like 95% back to the miles driven that we were pre-COVID. Cars are more important than ever. People are back to their jobs. They're driving for work, and they're driving a lot for things other than work. So people care a lot about the make and model, more than they ever have. Their preferences matter. To your experience, consumers know what they want to buy. They have opinions about make, model, performance, and they're willing to look around for it.
Yeah, it took me a while to find the right one.
Takes a long time. And what's so interesting, we did a survey got 1,000 consumers to respond here at the start of the year. And we heard things that map to your experience. People are delighted that it's never been easier to look around and see what might be available online. You said like a FaceTime test drive, like that technology, people love it. But I'll tell you, they still want to buy from a traditional dealer. Even if it might be one out of state, they got to get shipped. They want to compare and they want dealers that are and are giving it to them straight. And it's so interesting on the politics side, we give a bit of an analysis of this FTC CARS rule, which is designed to push back on some dealers that maybe are not quite so transparent about terms and pricing with their customers. But those dealers that don't play that game, they're the ones that are performing well, that consumers want to go and shop from. So your experience, I think, is exactly indicative of what we hear wholesale from the consumer audience. And it matters. It's going to, you know, if you're a smart dealer, definitely you're looking matters. At that.
Yes.
You make choices based on that.
Yeah, because I jumped around. I went to Brooklyn. I was in North Jersey at a bunch of, and honestly, like none of them, the best one ended up being in Ohio, and it worked out. And I have the car here now, and it's been great.
You know, one of the biggest news items at NADA was the release of the 2024 DCG Market Outlook Report, and it could not have come at a better time for the automotive industry. The DCG Market Outlook Report was created in a collaboration between the Dave Canton Group and Kaiser Associates, and within minutes of the release, CBT News, Automotive News, and media outlets were buzzing. Thousands of website visits and hundreds of downloads. The report analyzes seven crucial factors relating to the growth of the retail automotive sector in 2024. From comparisons of OEM and consumer sentiment to political climate and vehicle demand data, the 2024 DCG Market Outlook Report outlines everything needed to make smart growth choices in 2024. See what everyone in the industry is talking about. Download your copy today. Visit DaveCantonGroup.com/MOR.
Well, one of the biggest topics, I guess this is number five, is the dealership trends, right? Kind of calls back to the grind. And this is one that really grabs so much attention from the dealers. And I receive probably the most phone calls on, really understanding that we're able to predict again, understanding these dealership trends. So do me a favor, talk about that a little.
Well, I was going to ask you, Dave, were they calling you because they were excited or were they angry? Back to the grind, it's like, I look at that, I'm a little bit at arm's length and I can say, it's a bit more like things were 3-4 years ago, but the conditions are ripe. If you're going to operate intelligently, this is a good environment, but it's a fight again. But maybe, you said last 4 years, it's been incredible. It's a good problem to have. You can't predict, but it's just good news every single month.
Paul,
so I don't know. You getting
half of that's not going to last, right? So it was expected to come back.
And let me say this. There's no one in the industry, gentlemen, that expected this to last. Everyone knew.
The only
question
is
when. This
was
going to eventually, it was just when. It was never, is this a forever thing? Everyone knew it. Now, here's the difference. There were those that were proactive and that were working internally in their businesses to be prepared. And then there were those that were reactive. So, Paul, you brought up a great point. Were they happy or sad? Well, I'll tell you this, right? Or were they happy or angry? Those that had to be more reactive were the angry ones, were the ones that were like, okay, so now what? What's next? And they really don't have a playbook. It's almost like, thinking about it this way, going into a sporting event without having a team plan, without having a playbook. Those that were proactive and that understood there were areas within their business that they had to pay more attention to, knowing that this day is eventually going to come. This time is going to change. How do we best prepare our happy? Why? Because it's not a shock and awe effect. Yes, their numbers are going down as far as gross margin. Yes, they're making less money. But what they're looking at is, hey, all of this greatness that we created over the last 3.5-4 years, no one expected it. If we go back to March 2020, and we just think about that time, no one expected the next 3.5-4 years. So we're here today. But this information is helping dealers validate why they were so proactive over the last few months.
And it's, it's not to say it's easy, but it's the kind of the basic stuff. It's like, parts and service, it's been more and more important. It's remained more and more important. If over the last short couple of years, you might have gotten away with pretty darn good performance without really thinking critically about what's your parts and service strategy, because hey, prices are what they are. You can make a lot of money on new vehicles. Like, things are settling, but where it's settling is what the smart proactive guys have known for years. Parts and service are increasingly important. Those margins have remained pretty stable. Those contribute a lot to the bottom line. Your strategy there, maybe it's not different than it should have been a couple of years ago. It's just very important again. And that's, I think, part of what's separating the best from the okay, from the average. The average performance a couple of years ago was something to get excited about. The average today, it's going to hurt because you're going to get left behind the top performers. And I think that's the theme of what we hear on the dealer performance side.
Yeah, and Paul, well said. It's like, look, nobody doesn't know that you always have to go back to the basics, right? How did we operate these dealerships, these businesses for years? Sometimes when times are so great, you kind of, you stop looking at everything every day and you take your focus away because, hey, it's all great. But there's also a lot of dealers that knew this was coming to an end and understood, hey, the only way to really attack this and to go, let's consider it back to the grind, right? And really dive in and dig in is to understand what built greatness in the beginning. You know, everyone's greatest asset in their business are their people. It's making sure their people are properly trained. There's process. There's a great experience. You got to go back to those basics. When you have a great product and great people and you deliver a great experience, it's all going to come together.
Yeah. And I know we're probably getting close on time, but I don't want to forget that of the themes, one that we haven't mentioned yet that I think is pretty spicy. And I give us credit, Dave. I think we were even a little bit ahead of the news cycle on
M&A.
The perspective on EVs.
EVs.
Dave, I'll let you speak to M&A more than me. You're even more the expert.
Sure.
But on the EV front, I mean, here's the thing. I'm proud of what we got out kind of before. You're seeing it now day after day in the press. I think dealers, especially listening, are going to say, this is also something maybe they've known for a while. The level of consumer interest in a true battery EV versus a hybrid versus ICE, I think dealers have probably felt for a while that demand for battery electric, it's not as robust as some powers that be would like it to be. And what's very fascinating is we came out strong and we said, look, that interest is definitely slowing or plateauing. And while there's a lot of interest around hybrids, everyone, manufacturers and dealers, they're probably gonna have to rethink the battery strategy. And it's very interesting. You just see now manufacturer by manufacturer acknowledging that, shifting production targets, acknowledging that they gotta reset the strategy, acknowledging that the consumer's love for the hybrid, that's not going anywhere. But battery, maybe it's a different timeline. Maybe it's different. And I think we called it. I think there's some interesting stuff in there. Maybe it makes a few folks' lives kind of challenging, but you can't disagree with what consumers are saying loud and clear. You can't force them to take something at a speed that they don't want. So, I think we called that one. It's interesting.
But to your point, you look, for the last 2 years, we've been talking about EV at such a high level, right? And even if you go back and you look at the Super Bowl from 2 years ago, some of the biggest paid commercials were EV commercials, right? So when you go back and you look at where we were 2 years ago to where we are today, you still have less than 10% of the industry sold EVs, right?
Yeah.
It's not this
battery
robust
EVs.
EVs. It's not this robust industry where everyone's like, I gotta have it, right? So, you know, when you really think about where it's going, the infrastructure that it takes to get there, you know, obviously it was this big run. I think we all know where we are. It was a great segment.
We've made some progress. There's a different infrastructure than we would have had, but that doesn't change the speed that people want to adopt a technology. And you ask the consumer, what are you thinking about when you make that purchase? They care about range. They care about performance. They're thinking about maintenance. There are valid reasons to have second thoughts about a battery EV, maybe not so much hybrid. Therefore, you see more interest there. And consumers, they vote with their wallets, and you're seeing that clearly. So it's like back to that first point. There's data. You can act on it.
Yeah, because when you think about it, like you said, all the marketing and all this stuff that these manufacturers put out, if you talk to John Q. Public, a regular person on the street, and be like, hey, what percentage of EVs do you think are on the road? They may be like, oh, probably at least 25%.
30%.
And it's really, what, 6% people are buying EVs?
Because there was that much money. There was that much money and expectation poured into it, right?
So it goes social
back
media,
to the conversation we had 10 minutes ago. The manufacturer's decisions are really impactful. Let's hop into M&A trends because this is also such a critical thing for 24. Look, we are predicting that 24 is going to be just as busy as 23, if not busier, because there's so many auto groups that have been sitting on the sideline waiting you know, kind of creating this perfect storm, right? You have dealership groups out there, and this is so incredibly encouraging, that are wanting and willing to reinvest their last 3.5 or 4 years of historical profits and grow their platform. So when you have these small to medium sized groups, they're looking for these incredible tuck-in opportunities, and they essentially don't have to be these major metro highway operations. They're okay with non-metro dealerships to tuck into their current acquisition portfolios. What we're also seeing are auto groups that have been in existence for decades that understand, hey, the industry's changing, right? In real time, we are experiencing this change. We had an incredible run. You know, who's the best partner to pass the torch and carry the legacy? And there's a lot of them that have been sitting on the sideline for the last 3 years, debating whether now is the time, you know, understanding what they went through, building their greatest opportunity to exit. You know, we talk about succession planning. And as soon as you say the word succession plan, everyone in the industry immediately thinks it means exit. It doesn't. Succession planning is setting your business up for the greatest level of success. Part of that is, yes, if there's a catastrophic event. Yes, you know, if there's that next generation to start, you know, getting them built into the business and tying that together, estate planning, tax preparation. But it's also about understanding the future growth of the company to get it to that point that you ultimately want to create that vision and then turn it into a reality. So succession planning is at the forefront today, which ultimately, yes, will bring some great opportunities. There's a lot of dealers that have a lot of power behind them financially to execute some significant acquisitions that are in the market today that are not looking at this saying, yes, we understand the cycle's changing, right? We just got out of a historic cycle of profits in the automotive industry. Now, again, those that have been in this business, that have been in this industry, that have lived it for decades, know that it's a cycle and that this next cycle most likely will not duplicate what we came out of. But over the years, an asset is an asset and it will perform. And what's great about automotive dealerships is based upon the opportunity, because that's a key word, the opportunity to add significant brands that create synergies to your already platform now creates that opportunity to keep the client, to keep the customer in your group. So there's so many different opportunities this year that we believe is gonna really sustain 23's momentum, if not past 23. Opportunities are there. Buyers are willing to spend money. Dealer groups are considering their exit strategy, you know, maximizing the last 4 years, 5 years of evaluation data and understanding how they're going to create the best future. So it's an exciting year. We expect it to be a busy year. We're busier right now than ever before. I mean, I'll tell you this, on the Dave Canton Group M&A side, we are probably double the amount of evaluations and acquisitions today than we were last year today. So that's a great sign. Yes, it's some significant carryover from Q4 of 23, but it's still building. So that the phone calls, the evaluations are not slowing down. We do see that it's going to be possibly a record-breaking year. There will be some incredible acquisitions mentioned in 24 and a lot of great tuck-in opportunities that will add significant value to dealers. So we are not experiencing a slowdown. Look, this report, this outlook report, it's been so incredibly impactful. And I got to say this, we are about a little over a week of introducing this incredible report to the industry. I never expected to receive the impact that we have today, which again validates that the industry is in need for real-time data. The industry is in need for information that could help them manage their companies, protect their legacies, and strategically advise them on where they should be honed in and focused. And we couldn't have chosen a better partner than Kaiser Associates, Paul Mooma and his team, to help us bring this to the industry. Now the only question for Dave Canton Group is, do we do this on a quarterly basis? Do we do this twice a year? How often can we get this impactful information, this resourceful data, back into the industry to help our clients be as successful as possible?
Okay, so where could they go get it?
DaveCantonGroup.com. It's right on our homepage. They could download it right there. There's a digital version. They could share it with as many people as they want. And that's what we're seeing. So the most exciting part about this, Derek, is we're seeing the ability to share this document more than we ever imagined. I mean, people are downloading it and then sharing it over and over and over. And then that person sharing it, and then that person sharing it. In my opinion, and I believe Kaiser Associates, I think, Paul, you'll agree to this. There's nothing in the industry today that delivers this level of data and real-time data that this report has delivered to the industry on January 31st.
That was our goal, and it is nice to get the early feedback that seems to validate that, and that's definitely the goal. And Dave, then to your point, I think on our end, we're ready to do this kind of work for the industry, contribute as often as it makes sense, and it's all about how quickly things change around us. It's a busy year. Things will probably change, and you know, take that data, use it to your advantage, everybody in the industry, and that is our goal. We're happy to be a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul, thank you so much for being a part of this with the Dave Canton Group. Again, the Dave Canton Group, the Kaiser Associate dealer, you know, this relationship that we have, this ability to perform and create the data that we have, we're excited to keep doing this and do it as much as we can to advise our clients in the space. And this is critically important. Derek, so always great to be on the show and to be able to talk about things. And coming out of NADA, there's so much excitement. We did some great interviews, Paul and I, while we were at NADA about the Market Outlook Report. And we are excited to keep delivering real-time data to the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate you guys coming on Dealer News today and talking about the this Marketing Outlook Report between DCG and Kaiser Associates. Again, if you are a dealer out there and you want a copy of this, you just head over to DaveCantonGroup.com, right? They can get it right there.
DaveCantonGroup.com. And it's so much more for just the dealer, right? If you're a manufacturer, if you're a third-party vendor, if you're an attorney, if you're an accountant, put it like this. If you want to be up to date on real-time information and data, go to DaveCantonGroup.com and download the Market Outlook Report.
There you go. It's got those seven major themes. You know, they're all in there. We touched on them a little bit, but there's a lot of information in this thing. So you definitely want to go and check that out. Paul Mooma, partner at Kaiser Associates. Dave Canton, CEO of Dave Canton Group. Appreciate you guys coming on Dealer News Today. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
This episode of Dealer News Today brought to you by the Dave Canton Group, leading edge automotive M&A services across North America. Those that can choose anyone for M&A services choose the Dave Canton Group, the authority in automotive M&A. Visit DaveCantonGroup.com to see why.